the kill, and Warner wins the set. Fade away by Moores.
In Play with Craig Maddock, made possible by Horton in Britain, a worldwide supplier of engine cooling systems and proud member of the community for more than four decades. HortonWW.com. Welcome to another edition of In Play. I'm Craig Maddock. Today's guest never lost a basketball game in her high school career. She was South Dakota's Miss Basketball in 1981. She held the three-game scoring record for the AA State Girls Basketball Tournament. Actually, it was Class A Girls Basketball Tournament, too. For some 33 years, she would go on to play at South Dakota State. She would go on to coach girls basketball, even at her alma mater. She's in the South Dakota High School Basketball Hall of Fame. And she played in one of the most famous basketball games in South Dakota High School girls basketball history. And she put up 40 points in that game. She's the great Sioux Falls, Washington Warrior, Joelle Byrie Benson. Joelle, welcome to In Play.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
You know, you almost had no choice but to play basketball, right? I mean, your dad, Elton, was a great basketball player and a coach. And, of course, your mom, Jolene, was a coach at the Y.
Yeah.
Was that kind of the case where, you kind of had to try basketball early on, right?
Yeah. My brother played, and so that was what we did in the driveway.
What sports were you involved with before you even got into high school? You know, besides basketball, was there other stuff that you were involved with?
Well, I played softball. Volleyball wasn't really a big thing then. Like it is now. My senior year was the first year they had volleyball for some of the schools in the state. So we were lucky enough to get it at Washington High School, so I played volleyball just then. But just growing up, yeah, I think that was really it.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot available back then.
No, there wasn't.
I know there were a lot of YMCA teams, though, in Sioux Falls back in the 70s. You know, what do you remember about playing Y ball?
Well, what I remember is our school, our little elementary school, did not have a team. So I got to play on, I think, the Jane Addams team. And so that's where I started out. I think it was probably fifth grade. So, yeah, I played basketball with some girls and teammates that I didn't know. And my coach was Baird Phillips for a couple of years. And, I know my mom helped out. And besides that, I know somebody told me one time that they filmed a game and they just thought it was pretty hilarious. But I've never gotten to see it, because I'm sure it was very ragged. I'm sure it was pretty fun. But
it was It was the beginning of basically girls basketball and learning the fundamentals and figuring out how to play the game back then.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I lived close enough to the Y where I could, walk or run down to the games if my, parents weren't there to, get me to the practice or whatever. So we had a good location. And then I actually spent a lot of time at the Y with open gyms. It wasn't like they do now. The high schools didn't open the gyms up like they do. And we went to the Y and we played, basketball there. Every day. That was not in elementary school, but later.
Sure. And were some of those girls you were playing with, were they on your team at Washington or were they on other teams around the area?
Yeah, mostly from Lincoln and Washington we got. And then, about 11 o'clock, some of the guys from their lunch hours would come in. And so we'd play against whoever came to play, pickup games. So, we'd get there and play some on our own, but then we just kind of join whoever was there and play some game.
Did you get any basketball playing time as a freshman or as a sophomore at Washington?
So I was still at Axtell Park Junior High my ninth grade year. They didn't have the high school starting in ninth grade, so I was still in the junior high. And then when I came to Washington my sophomore year, I was on the sophomore team. And about 10 games in, I broke my wrist. And so I didn't play the rest of that year. So I did not play any varsity time.
You broke that wrist in a basketball game?
I did not. I actually broke it in the hallway leaving an open gym, trying to do some cheerleading move. Yeah.
It was
kind of embarrassing. Yeah.
Well, they kind of told you not to get into cheerleading, apparently.
Exactly. You know, we were pretty goofy. We had a lot of fun, and but yeah, so I broke it, and then that was the end of that season.
You were a post player, so what was your playing height at in high school?
You know, I think he listed me probably at least 6'1". I was with shoes on. I was a 6-footer, but so that I was always listed at least a 6'1".
When did that growing spurt occur early on? Was that before you were in seventh grade?
Yeah, I'd say seventh, eighth. I know I was 5'11" in ninth grade, so I might have grown just a tiny bit more.
Things were going to get crazy with you now, beginning with your junior year at Washington. Girls basketball certainly wouldn't look back for the next couple of years. You know, Joe Lockwood was your coach at Washington. What was Coach Lockwood like?
He was great. He had some experience. You know, we came in and he'd already coached a couple of years for girls. I think that was kind of a new experience for him. And so he kind of had the philosophy, I got to let them be girls. But when they get out there to be competitive, he just knew we would play hard. And so we always had at the end of practice, a few times a week, we'd have a candy shootout, and he would throw candy on the gym floor, and then we got to shoot. And if we made it from that, we got to get the piece of candy. So we had, you know, we had some fun, and we had it was very competitive, just because I feel like our team at Washington those years, we had a lot of good athletes. So practice was really competitive, and he was just great. We loved him. We wanted to play hard for him, and yeah, it was some really good years.
Girls sanctioned basketball had been around for about 5 years. Washington had never been to the state girls basketball tournament yet. Was there a feeling your junior year that maybe you could make it to state that year?
You know, I don't know. I guess we didn't really think about, I guess I didn't think about that necessarily. I just kind of thought, let's play hard and play each game. And even though my dad coached and my brother played and they were ahead of me, I just hadn't been to maybe a lot of state tournaments, so I didn't know the whole gist of all that. So, but yeah, when we got into the regionals, like, we were obviously undefeated and ranked number one. So, you know, that was kind of thinking probably that would be a good chance for it, but it almost didn't happen. I don't know if you have the notes on that game or that happening, but
1980, you're going into the playoffs undefeated at that time.
Yeah.
So what happened? Yeah. What almost took you out?
Okay, so I think it was 80, but like I said, 80, 81, we were down, I think, 21 points sometime in that game, and it was not looking good. It was not, that was 80. Yep. But somehow we clawed our way back and ended up winning. But we had gotten down by a lot of points, which, yeah, I don't think that game, I don't think I have a tape of that game, which is probably good.
who was that against?
Lincoln.
It's Lincoln.
Lincoln High School. Yeah. Like, I don't know if you remember the name, like Maury Emmons. She was a great track athlete, but she played basketball. She was on the team that year. She's the main one I can remember.
What made you guys, though, so good that year, 1980?
I think we had, like I said, really good athletes. We also had Ann Pankos was a great shooter. So, and she could drive. She could kind of have the inside-outside game. You know, I was playing post. We had another gal, Lisa Sorensen, who played kind of the 4-3. And she was a good shooter, but she's a great passer. So I think we had the inside-outside game. We played really good defense. We had a really good pressure defense, which we could play full court because everybody could move real well. And so I think it was just, we just kind of had a really overall good team. I mean, we had a couple girls on the bench. One of the girls, I think she was 6'3". And then another girl started, and she was 6'2". So we were big. We were tall. So we had Patty Klassen. Played also, and Chris Ensberg that year. She was a guard. We didn't have any really weaknesses, I guess. You know, you couldn't just guard me, or you couldn't just guard somebody else, because there was everybody had the ability to score. Everybody had the ability to rebound and play a good defense.
Yeah, you guys almost had the twin towers that Brookings
yes.
would
yes.
had. You had yeah. Some of the tall post players.
Yes, we did. Yeah, we did. Yeah. So it was just hard to defend. I mean, if somebody missed, we usually had someone there to get the rebound a lot, you know, so.
All right. For the old timers, this was one of the most famous high school girls basketball games in South Dakota. Happened back on November 7th, 1980. Sioux Falls, Washington is hosting the reigning Class B state basketball champs, the Jefferson Hawkettes. Fred Tibbetts was the coach. Jefferson at the time was on a 67-game win streak before they met the Warriors. Game is played at the old Washington High right there downtown, right? Right, Joelle?
Yeah.
A packed gym. What did you guys feel any pressure going into that game?
You know, I don't think so. I think the pressure was on them. They have the winning streak. You know, we had won all our games up to that point, but it was just really fun. I remember running like on to warm up, and there was people like right up to the line, the boundary line. Like there was people all over. And you know, that was even during the sophomore game, that's when they started turning people away. So it was loud, it was packed, it was just so fun. So I think we were just excited to be playing a really good team. We had played with a lot of the team at the what was that? Hanson Anderson basketball camps in the summer.
That is correct.
We had all gone to those. And so we were very aware of, and, you know, friends or whatever, acquaintances with a lot of them. And then also the Fred Tibbetts was always at those camps. So we know, you know, we knew him. And so it was more just, wow, this is just going to be fun and exciting. And let's just see what happens.
Yeah. Jefferson had Katie Daly. They had Amy Allard. I mean, they had, that was a really good team. That was a reason why they had won, what, 64 in a row. But you score 40 points in that game, 18 rebounds. What was the key of that game for Washington?
I would say those 18 rebounds helped me because then I could, you know, score some easy bunnies as far as being able to put those back up. I had no idea I had that many points, to be honest. It was such a, like, I think the end of the score was like 88-78. Was that right?
That is correct.
So, I mean, we scored a lot of points. And it was back and forth. And I think they would say what happened with them is they got into foul trouble. And so that hurt them because they weren't as deep as we were. And so that, I think, really factored into maybe that part of the end of the game. But I just think it was a fast up and down and a lot of shots taken. And I was kind of there to clean up the garbage, I guess.
And you think about it, how many of those players in that game went on to have some pretty good basketball careers in college? You know, Katie and Pancoast, they both went to USD, right?
Yeah.
Of course, you go to SDSU. I mean, there was some great talent on that floor.
Yeah, yes, there was. And Amy Allard went on to play at Creighton.
That's right. You know, a reminder, too, basketball played in the fall in South Dakota there back in the 70s and 80s. And Washington makes it to the state tournament for the first time. The tournament is in Rapid City. Your first-round game is against Lead, and you score 77 points. And that those 77 points would become a tournament record that would be would hold for a long, long time. What do you remember about that very first state tournament game? You'd never been there before.
That's a good question, because that one is not embedded in my memory. I don't really remember that one too much, to be honest.
You won the game by like 36 points. I mean, it was not a close game. You probably only played half the game, Joelle.
Yeah. I probably, we probably were nervous, like really nervous. But then once you get playing, then I'm sure the nerves were, you know, like, again, if you pressure teams, that really helps to get rid of some of those nerves. And so, you know, if you can count on your defense to get some steals and to get some easy put, you know, layups, that's always going to kind of help get you into the flow of the game.
Semifinals, you beat Peer. Did you play them during the regular season? You beat them by like 19 points in that game.
We did not play them. That was the first time. So we hadn't played either of those teams, which was really fun to play teams that we hadn't seen before. They came on to have, they had some young players. I do know that. And Tara was a real good friend of mine now. She came to play at state, but she was pretty young then that year.
I think you would go on and play them again in the following year in the state tournament. But then you go to the championship game, and Canton is sitting there waiting for you. What do you remember about that Canton team in the championship game?
I remember it was a pretty physical game. If I remember, they had a pretty good post, and Rita Hurley was on that team. So I remember it was close, wasn't it?
52-45.
Yeah, so that was not ever a given. You know, we had to play till the end and until the buzzer went off to know that one was going to be done. But yeah, they were good. I just remember they were good.
And the very first championship for Washington High.
Yeah.
Had to make some room in the shelves for the trophy for the girls.
That's good. That's good. That was a good thing.
1981 is your senior year. Washington again goes undefeated in the regular season. Do you remember some games maybe where you just barely squeaked by that regular season?
We played Jefferson at Jefferson. We thought that was going to be a really tight game. It ended up not to be so tight. I don't think if you have the score in front of you, I don't think that was too close. We thought it would be.
You had a lot of the same players though back, didn't you? From the year before.
We had a lot of players that did play significant minutes, but we think all the other starters graduated. But we filled those positions pretty easily because the girls that were my age, they were good, but they were just behind these seniors that were good too. So they kind of stepped right in and, you know, just took off. We had Carrie Wiley, Carrie Soyland, and Ann Wog, Neutron. Tony Engelson. Let's see. You know, the one player that played behind me was Shelly Faust. She was my backup, but she went on to play at USF. She was an All-American over there playing basketball. So that's an interesting story because, you know, she didn't really, I don't think she ever started a game, but she was that good. She went on to play and be an All-American.
So you beat Pierre in the first round. You see them again in the state tournament. You win that one by 11. You score 17 points in that game. What was that game like?
Well, that, again, now we've been there. So thankfully, now that was in, was that in Watertown?
It was at the Huron Arena.
Huron.
Yes.
Gosh.
Yes.
Okay, Huron. And what was nice about that one was we were closer to home, so we had a better crowd. The Rapid one was a little bit not as, you know, homey just because we didn't have as many fans. So the Hurons was great. But yeah, I just remember, you know, we had played Pierre and we were pretty nervous because they had some good players. Lisa Kurtenbach, you know, went on to SDSU, played there. And then they had a couple of those. I can't name them right now, but you know, I don't know if you have it in front of you, but they next couple of years, did they win it in the next couple of years, did Pierre?
Pierre would win it in 82.
Yeah.
Yeah, the next year, Pierre would win it. And then they were in the finals the next year, but were runner-up. So they had a nice run for the next 2 years.
Yep. So, I mean, that was a pretty tough opening game for us, I felt.
You score 17, and then you go on to the semifinals, and it's Watertown who you play. And you win the game by 22, but you scored 37 in that game. What was going on in that game for you?
I don't know. They must not have had a post player.
Yeah, they just kind of lob it to you and you easily.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You know, the player I remember from that team was Penny Hamrick. She was a good point guard, but that wouldn't have helped, you know, I guess the inside game.
So then it's on to the championship. You guys still undefeated. You're the defending champs. Coach Lockwood, you know, what was he like during these state tournament games? What were some of the inspiration that he gave you?
We didn't really know this until a little bit later, but he was really nervous. And he didn't show us that necessarily side of him. He tried to, like, you know, downplay that so that we didn't get all nervous and all stressed out. But he was a really nervous coach because he just wanted it to be so, you know, good for us. And we didn't realize that at the time. He really kept it light for us and let us be, because I have to tell you, we were goofy. We did, you know, some goofy things in the locker room, and we were just kind of, but he just knew we were competitors. So when the game started, it was like game on. So he let us be, you know, he wasn't super strict, you know, about all these things. And so, yeah, that was what he was like. And so, you know, I remember we just had a great time at the hotel, and, you know, everybody fed us and took care of us, and we had shoot arounds, and we just really enjoyed it. I think we might have gotten snowed in somewhere. Was that volleyball?
That one, I don't know.
Yeah. One time we had to spend an extra night because we got snowed in somewhere, but it was, I think it might have been that year.
So who was the instigator of all the silliness on the team? Was it you, or was it somebody else, Pancoast? Who was the silly one out there?
You know, I think it was a combination. Anne was definitely silly. She could be silly. Nobody would probably know that she had that side. Tony Engelson was pretty silly. And the next year, and we all like to have fun. Anne, Carla, Kiri, and I have been really good friends for our whole life. And so that was just another layer of it. When you build such good friendships, I think the chemistry is so good and you play together so good. Nobody cares who scores points and who gets the rebounds or whatever. We just wanted to win. And we were just really, truly happy for whoever had a good game. So I think that really came into play those 2 years I played, is just the team's chemistry. I think that makes a huge difference.
Your senior year, you get back to the championship game, and this time you're facing Yankton, the Gazelles. I mean, they were the powerhouse of girls basketball. They had won the title 4 times over the previous 6 years. Yankton was good again, but you score 27 points and you beat Yankton by 20, a dominant win. You know, what were you thinking about on the court after that final high school basketball game?
I was just thinking, this is a great game. This is a great season. Sadness a little bit that this would be the last time, you know, you play for the Washington Warriors. But, you know, just really happy to be a part of this tradition at Washington High School and to end up with 2 years where we hadn't lost. So I guess I would say, you know, really proud. And happy about all that, but also, you know, that career is over, and so you're saying kind of goodbye to that high school and your friends that you played with all those years, and to Coach Lockwood. So a lot of different emotions, but really good. It was just really, really fun.
Joelle, you set a tournament scoring record that year. You scored 81 points in those 3 games. You broke the scoring record that Donna Ray of Yankton had. She had 66 points in the 1977 tournament. So you score 81. That record lasts for 33 years. Did you know that, Joelle?
Yeah. Well, I just know that because I know who broke it. And she's friends of ours, and she roomed with my daughter in college.
Talking about Macy Miller of Mitchell. Yep. Yeah. She scored 103 points in 2014. And if you're going to lose a record to somebody, that was a good one to lose to, right?
For sure. Yes. She just didn't beat it. She like destroyed it.
She did.
That'll last a long time.
103 points in 3 games of a state basketball tournament.
That's amazing.
By the way, you did become chosen Miss Basketball the senior year. What did that mean to you?
You'd be very interested in this because there was a lot of good players. From different small schools. And so I was in class and Joe Lockwood came to the door and he knocked on it and he goes, I just want to let you know, you're not going to win. Nobody votes for Sioux Falls schools, but you deserve it. That's what he told me. And so I go, okay. You know, so it was something that I remember that he came to my room and just said, you know, I just don't want you to, you know, get your hopes up because you're just not going to win.
I'm trying to remember some of the other players that were up for the Miss Basketball Award. Do you remember?
Okay, there was a Hartman. Is it Glenda Hartman? That was she was a really good player. Amy Allard was up. I have to look at my sheet from
there.
Those are
some pretty good names there. Sure. Pretty good names you mentioned already.
Yeah, probably Penny Hamrick, too,
mm-hmm.
Would have been up for it. Yeah. But there were some good names. I'd have to review my scrapbook if I had to come up with everybody. But yeah, so I kind of went to the banquet without any expectations, you know. And I, again, you know, I think it, every and it's still kind of that way today, where we know, you know, a lot of the players because we went to the Bob Winter basketball camp and we went to these camps and we all kind of get there and become friends. So, you know, a lot of the girls that have played. So that's fun. It's just kind of a great event.
After graduation, you go to SDSU. Were there other choices for you to consider rather than Jackrabbits back then?
Yeah, you know, basically a lot of schools around here. I wanted to stay close to home. And so USD, SDSU, Augie, Northern, those were kind of the schools that I visited and made a decision from those schools right there.
Yeah, SDSU, a Division II school then, playing in the North Central Conference. This is back in the 80s. What was the transition like for you from high school to playing as a freshman? And you played quite a bit as a freshman for the Jacks.
Yeah. I think if I maybe did it over again, I went and I played volleyball. And so I was playing volleyball while they were kind of doing their preseason stuff. And maybe I would wait and play volleyball later in my career because I just felt like I was missing out. And but once I started basketball, I didn't feel like, you know, yeah, I think it was obviously tougher, faster, a lot of competition just amongst your teammates. So there was definitely some transition. But yeah, I feel like just the whole overall freshman experience, it was good, but there was just a lot of learning and growing.
Mary Ingram, was she the coach for you early on for your freshman year? And then, of course, Nancy Niebuhr takes over the following year. What was it like playing for Coach Niebuhr?
She was very competitive and new because she'd come from Mitchell High School. And so she was kind of learning. I was learning. And, yeah, I would say that I was injured a lot. So that was really kind of tough because we're trying to figure out, okay, what can I do? Just because I don't want to aggravate anything. And so we were always kind of working together to just figure things out, I guess. She, at that time, even though you could get a full scholarship, they made you do like a board job. And so you had to put in some hours. And my board job was to work for first Mary Ingram and then, you know, Nancy Niebuhr. And it was interesting because I'd go, you know, and they never had any jobs for me, but I had to kind of check in, you know. Oh, dear. So, you know, there's just a lot of things going on. One funny story was we said, well, okay, we'll work. We'll get some hours in, and we had to work after a basketball game, which now people would just be like, you had to do what? And Tara, Chester, and I were, you know, mopping or something. And Nancy Niebuhr saw us, and she came over and she gave, you know, took our stuff and like, you should not be having to do this, or, you know, it was just kind of, you know, standing up for us.
Your sophomore year, I think you start the first 16 games, but then you get hurt. The knees, something's wrong with the knees. What's going on at that time?
Yeah. So I actually hurt my knee my freshman year and I was out for a little bit. And then they put me in a brace and I played the rest of the year, which if I just could have sat out and not, you know, you're just always in a hurry to get back. I got to get back.
You always played. You were always playing. That's, you were used to that.
Yeah. So I kind of attribute this Lennox Hill brace with a lot of my problems that next year, because all of the pressure when I was running was kind of on my patellar tendon. And so my patellar tendon cut or like, you know, tore. And then my other knee had, they thought it was a meniscus, but it ended up being kind of a bone issue where they had to go in and scrape my bone. So my sophomore year, after 16 games, I had surgery. I had surgery on both my knees to fix that tear and to fix the kind of the bone on the meniscus.
And that pretty much took you out your junior year too, didn't it?
Yep. So it took me out. And I had surgery again for both of them. Because I just don't think I stayed off them enough, and they didn't heal. So I had both knees done in my sophomore year, both knees done in my junior year. Sat out, and then played my senior year.
Yeah, all 27 games you played, you started. You averaged 16 points a game. You were a double-double player. Jacks go 11-16 your senior year. I know Carla Stevenson, Tara Tessier also were double-figure players for you. What was it like the senior year for the Jacks?
It was good. I mean, it was so good to finally be playing and to be out there. You know, that after sitting out so much, you know, any athlete would say, oh, it's just pure torture not to be able to play. So the fact that I could play was just so good. I mean, it was, like you said, we didn't have a winning season, but it wasn't that we were getting beat bad all the time. It was just kind of at the end of the game, like, let's put those free throws in, or, you know, so it wasn't a bad season. It just wasn't like as well, obviously, as you'd like it to be, but, you know, I was playing with my friends. It was good.
Yeah. Afterwards, you go play, become a grad assistant at Winona State. You're doing some coaching, I think, there a little bit. What was going on at Winona State after playing at SDSU?
Yeah, it was interesting. So going to Winona State, so at that point, I was hired by the head coach, and I was basically the assistant coach because they didn't have anybody else. Like, I came in as a grad student, but I was really the assistant coach. And they had a JV program, so I would coach, you know, sit with the varsity, and also had a JV team. And what I found out probably the most is it's a lot easier to play, I feel like, than coach. I think coaching and having to sit is a lot harder than playing. But I had fun because I was still young enough I could play in the practices. I could, you know, help out in drills and do a lot of things that way too.
Did you play overseas at that time too? I know you.
You know, I went overseas and played for just a mission trip.
Okay.
I can't remember how long we were gone, but we played some games, but it wasn't like
weren't a professional type thing, was it?
No, it wasn't. I don't even know if they had that at that point.
Was that when you thought coaching was your next step?
You know, I knew I wanted to teach and coach, so yes. I think that was good experience. I coached two seasons there, so yeah, that was something I wanted to do. I wanted to be an influence.
Yeah. Was West Central the first stop?
It was the first stop. Mm-hmm.
A couple of years there, maybe 4 years, maybe at West Central. What was your overall?
I was there 3 years there, and then I was at Washington for 4 years, and then I stayed home.
Got to coach your alma mater.
Yeah.
So what were those experiences like for you?
Well, they were good. So when I left West Central, West Central was great. I had great girls, and we really had a good teams. And then I came to Washington, and Carrie Soylent, she got the head volleyball job, and I was her assistant. And then when I was the head basketball coach, she was my assistant basketball coach. So that first year we came to Washington together, and we coached those teams together. Was great. And then she ended up then going, she stayed coaching volleyball for a few years, and she had her started having her kids. And so then she wasn't my assistant for all those years. But the thing that we kind of went through was when we came to Washington that year, they opened up Roosevelt. So we lost a lot of our players to Roosevelt. So we that first year we were there, we were playing with two seniors, and then the rest were younger. We had some pretty good sophomore and freshmen. And so then when my last year, those freshmen were seniors. So that was, you know, just to see their progression and their improvement was pretty, pretty great.
What kind of a coach were you?
You know, I kind of like to say I was trying to be like Lockwood some. I mean, we had fun, but we also worked hard, and, you know, I tried not to yell, but I know I did. I'm sure.
You decided to stop coaching, decided to raise some kids. Was that a tough decision, or was it a pretty easy decision of what you did?
You know, I think all the coaches would tell you, you know, coaching is a lot of commitment, a lot of time. And so not just in your season, but it's almost, you know, year round now where you're doing things and you're opening the gyms and weight rooms and all that. So by the time I made that decision, I was pregnant with my second, and I just knew I couldn't probably do both very well. So it wasn't too difficult, because then obviously your kids get old enough and you can start coaching them.
I want to talk about your dad, Elton. Basketball star, Reliance, back in the 50s. He was a scoring machine. A great career at Dakota Wesleyan. And then he coached. He coached at Chamberlain. And he also coached at Sioux Falls, Washington. That was back in the early to mid 70s. What was it like watching your dad coach at Washington?
You know, I was pretty young, so I don't really have, to be honest, I don't have a great visual of that. Yeah. I mean, I know he coached, and, you know, I know it was fun, but I don't really remember. I think I was just kind of oblivious sometimes when I was little to what was going on.
Your dad wouldn't remind you that he would, you know, score 30 points a game when he was playing
you
for
know,
Reliance?
We, like I said, we had some great games in the driveway. And, you know, he was really a pure shooter. And here's what's kind of funny is, I don't know if you saw my free throw percentage, but it wasn't great. Mm-hmm. And we would work. He would just be tirelessly working. He would try and help me with my free throws. And, you know, I think he was so supportive and everything. But I think in the stands when I would be like 50%, that would just never be him. He was just a pure shooter. And so he had to be frustrated sometimes with my shooting because he tried so hard, you know. But yes, he just talked about how, you know, he was a farm boy in Reliance, and, you know, they didn't have much to do. They had a basketball hoop up in the barn, and that's what he did. He shot and shot and shot.
I was wondering how many father-daughter combinations there are in the South Dakota High School Basketball Hall of Fame. Joelle, you were inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2011. Your dad inducted in 2016. What I was able to find, I mean, maybe missing one, but the one I did find was Jerry and Jane Even. They're in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Jerry was the 2,000-point scorer at Del Rapids St. Mary, and of course, Jane was a great player at O'Gorman and North Dakota State. So you're in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Your dad is in the Hall of Fame. You went in first. What were your thoughts when your dad goes in 5 years later after you went in?
Oh, that was so exciting. You know, that's just such a compliment to him and his careers and his, you know, basketball knowledge and all the things that he did. We were really excited when he got into the Hall of Fame. Yeah, I guess we're just proud.
What was it to you when you were told you're going in to the High School Basketball Hall of Fame?
You know, it just means a lot to be recognized as far as just your career and what you've done, hopefully, for the basketball, the sport of basketball. And so it was an honor. It was a really big honor to be told I was going to be in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Yeah, it was pretty exciting, and it's just fun to kind of keep up with that and see who's, you know, getting in every year. And it's just, yeah, it was great.
That Washington girls basketball teams that you were on back your junior and senior year, the ones that went undefeated, would you still have scored almost 900 points if your team had the three-point line?
The 3-point line would not have affected me at that point because I didn't shoot from outside the paint, but we would have scored a lot more points because we had some great shooters. We didn't have the 3-point line, and we used a boys' ball.
That didn't change until your second year in college when they went to the smaller ball. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that's funny. No, I don't think it would have changed my scoring. I think it would have changed some of them on our team.
Yeah, I thought maybe your point guards would shoot a lot more instead of passing to you.
Yeah, but then, you know, if they happen to miss, then maybe I could get the rebound. So I think it would have been okay.
Do you still get together with some of those players from those championship teams? Do you see them?
Yes, yeah. Yep. We actually, you know, in our team got inducted. The 1980 team got inducted couple of years ago, so we had a little reunion then. But the girls that are my age, like I told you, we still get together. A couple of them still live in Sioux Falls, and then we get together about every couple of years for a kind of a bigger reunion. But a lot of those that were my junior and my senior, a lot of those girls, I don't think they live around here, so I don't see them like I do my grade.
The old Washington High School that you attended in downtown Sioux Falls, it's now the Washington Pavilion, where you basically attend concerts or see science and education programs. There are no basketball gym there anymore downtown. Of course, the new Washington High on the city's northeast side back in 1992. But what's it like for you, Joelle, when you walk into the Washington Pavilion downtown? with all those basketball memories there.
I know. I just love that school. I love that gym. And, you know, if I wish everybody could experience walking down to the dungeon downstairs where our locker room is or was, because it was quite the experience. You know, it was just like it was. It was kind of a dungeon. And great memories, though. And I think if anybody that came to play there would probably say it was kind of a darkish gym anyway, because I think of the age of it and all that. But I wish I could, like, see now, like, now what it's like. I wish I could have a just a little bit better memory of how everything was set up. But I definitely remember where exactly gym was, the locker rooms, where the stage was on the back side of the gym. It was, yeah, I can't say anything bad about it. It was great. I'm glad that it's still at least being used for what it's being used for. I just wish they could have kept a little bit more of it for people to see what it was like. I know they have a classroom that's great that they kept, but everything else has pretty much been changed.
Ooh, is there something from Joelle Byrie Benson in that room?
I think there might be, like, I think they have a lot of pictures up of state championship teams. That's, I do know they, like, in the hall, like, I think it's in the hallway maybe on that floor that you can walk along and see different state championship teams.
I got two more for you, Joelle. Did you have any rituals before going out to play basketball, playing a game?
Oh, yes, I did. Uh-oh. I know for sure every breakfast before a game, my mom made me pancakes. So that was one of them. And then I had a teammate, her name was Lynn Redding. And before the game, she'd always bring a Twix, and we'd share a Twix. So I, you know, silly things like that. Those are the ones I can kind of remember. I'm sure I had, you know, wore, you know, the socks the same way and that type of thing. But other than that, not too much.
Joelle, what are you most proud of when you look back on your basketball career, playing the game, coaching the game? What are you most proud of?
I'm just proud that I was a part of the beginning of just a great tradition of basketball in the state of South Dakota. It's interesting that you know, you look back and you go, that was just really a game where people remember it for some reason. And that I got to be a part of that, and that girls basketball was noticed at that time. And then has just progressed to be amazing. Like, look at the teams, the college teams that are always competitive, and the high school competitiveness. I'm just so proud to be a part of the tradition of women's basketball in South Dakota, because it has just been so great.
In Play with Craig Maddock is made possible by Horton in Britain, where smiling at work happens all the time. Apply now at HortonWW.com. If you like what you're hearing, please give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. It helps us gain new listeners. This has been In Play with me, Craig Maddock. This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.